Hey, happy Friday, everyone. I got a quick announcement. It is Friday today, but that being said, it is also the last day for sign up for the men's retreat. Do it today. Do it today. All right, that's my announcement. Hey, we've been working through the book of Genesis, which is really a story of God's story. But within God's story, we find our own story. So today, with that in mind, we have asked Dr. Ernest Cole of the English department to share a little about his story, and that he can do that, I'm going to pray so we can hear it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Ernest, your servant. Now speak to us through him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you give Dr. Ernest Cole a loud welcome?
Good morning. I want you to picture in your mind's eye a tiny country in the west coast of Africa. A country rich in diamonds, where at the height of the rainy season, in the eastern district, you may be lucky enough to pick up a diamond when it rains heavily. I want you to imagine how blessed that country could have been if its natural resources could have been properly harnessed. Against this background, I also want you to imagine a situation of total breakdown of law and order, where rebels are clashing with government soldiers for control of the mining areas and for political supremacy. If you could, picture a situation where people's limbs, hands and feet are amputated, where young women are abducted, gang-raped for weeks, months, some killed, others returned, pregnant, and have given birth to babies who've labeled rape babies. This is my country, Sierra Leone, in the era of the Civil War, a war that should never have been, and whose carnage perhaps best illustrates the lowest depth to which I ever have seen humanity sink. Picture a young professor just married for 9 months, and who have to depart with a frightened young lady without the opportunity of saying goodbye to parents, siblings, and friends, and who found themselves after going through a harrowing journey in a strange land. That professor is myself. But I come here today not to dwell on the atrocities of the Civil War, neither on the dark side of humanity, but rather to praise God for his favor, his blessings, and his love. So much has been documented on the Civil War in my country, and the Hollywood movie Blood Diamond is a case in point. My countryman Ishmael Beyer's book, A Long Way Gone, is another case in point. I will rather concentrate on God's favor and blessings in this talk. When we arrived in the Gambia, a neighboring country, I realized that we have become refugees. Initially, I thought this would last for a few months, perhaps a year. It was the opposite. We ended up living as refugees for 7 years. But thank God, teachers are always in high demand. So I was taken out of the refugee camp, and I was teaching in the teacher training college. It is against this background that I have titled my talk, From Refugee to Hope College Professor. If we look at this topic, we come to realize that it shows a huge shift, a transformation, and some kind of growth. But the crucial question to be asked here is, what accounted for or necessitated this growth? I am happy to talk to you today about this, and I thank Paul for inviting me and for giving me 2 extra minutes to present my talk. Thank you, Paul. I want to frame my talk within the context of the book of Genesis. I think it is important for me to do so because Genesis, in my view, postulates issues of a new creation. a birth, possibilities, transformation, and change. I want to use this concept of a birth to contextualize the change from hope, from refugee to hope professor. The book of Genesis declares that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. As you begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together, it is apparent that my transformation from darkness, from refugee, to light, was necessitated, was sanctioned, was made possible by the light of God, the power of His word, His goodness, and His love to transform whatever situation we find ourselves in. It was in my moment of darkness, when I was without form and void, that I met God, and His light shone upon me. It was in my moment of despair, of despondence, of frustration, that I gave my life to Christ, and my life has never been the same again. I grew up in a religious home, but don't get me wrong, I never had a personal relationship with Christ. I had never emptied myself of myself. I had never totally surrendered to Him. I'd never submitted my will to His grace. But when I met Him, my life changed forever. So how did this change come to pass? Life as a refugee is tough, not only adjusting to the demands of a different culture, but it also involves reflecting on what you've left behind: my parents, my siblings, my friends. But notwithstanding, I came to realize that even in my situation of desperation, I can still be of assistance. The Gambia was a poor country where students don't even have access to books or pens or pencils. I thought to myself, even though I am a refugee here, I can provide some assistance. And so what I did, I bought a column in a newspaper. And for 2 years, I reviewed a high school literature syllabus on my column for free. So students can have access to newspapers, which their parents can take after cleaning offices in the evening, take them home, and they will read my notes for 2 years. Behold, somebody somewhere was carefully reading my column. I never knew. And when I needed a friend to give me a second opinion for a PhD proposal I sent to a university, somebody read it who told me, "For 2 years, I have been reading your column." Not only that, he called his former advisor at UConn and said, "Here is somebody whose column I've been reading for 2 years. I want to recommend him for a teaching assistantship at the University of Connecticut." And so on the 14th of August, 2003, I boarded a plane for the United States. It was a spectacle. I will always remember when I entered, I boarded the airplane, I buried my head between my legs, and I wept like a baby. The lady sitting next to me could not console me. Apparently, she mistook my tears for fear of flying. She motioned to the flight attendant to help me. It paid a huge dividend, because for every meal that was served thereafter, I got a double ration. But I thank God that I did not abuse the opportunity given to me when I came to the United States. 5 years later, I took a PhD, and then I applied to be an assistant professor at Hope College, and God gave me the job. Now I am here as professor in the English department. What lessons do we learn from this? Three things quickly. No matter how desperate your situation is, you can be a blessing to others. No matter how desperate, no matter how dark it might be, always realize, as Romans 8:28 says, "All things shall work together for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I want to leave you with 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love God with all your heart. Serve him in liberty and in truth. He will open doors you've never dreamed of. He will take you to places you never imagined. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, King of Glory, we want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to speak to your people. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of the carnage, in spite of the desperate situations we may find ourselves, there is hope, O God. We thank you for Jesus, that name given to men by which we may be saved. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for the word. We thank you for your goodness, O Lord. As your people listen to your message, O God, continue to bless them and enrich them. Let your name be glorified in all they do. These and all other masses we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. You're dismissed.